And as I think about the work that I do, many days I see people on their worst day because they are not sure what is going to happen to them. Are they going to get to go out of the front door, which means that they're going back home today? Or are they going to go out the side door, which means that they are going to go to jail or prison?
Welcome to Be a Baller Podcast, where we discuss how to build a lifelong legacy. I'm your host, Coach Tim Brown. Today, I'm excited to have in studio with me Judge Jaiza Page, and we're just so excited to have you on the show. Today on the show, Jaiza will share her commitment to public service. After faithfully serving in various elected officials, Judge Page was selected to the Franklin County Court of Common Pleas General Division. I've known Jaiza for a while. I followed her path to all this great success, and I'm just so excited to have this conversation with you. So welcome to Be a Baller Podcast.
Thank you so much. My pleasure to be here today.
I'm waiting on you to get on that television show. You know, I know you're coming, Judge Judy and all that one day.
Judge Jaiza.
Yeah, even Steve Harvey has a show now.
Yes, he does.
So you didn't bring your gavel with you, did you? You're
not
gonna pound on the table today, are you?
I promise I won't.
Everybody's good in here, right?
Yes,
we're all good.
We're all good.
I want to make sure. You know, growing up, you were blessed to finish. I think you said you spent your last 2 years at Columbus School for Girls.
Yes.
You know, how did that all-girls school impact your life today?
So that's a great question. And I went to a co-ed school from, you know, daycare all the way up until 10th grade. And then my mom made the decision to transition me to Columbus School for Girls. And I really enjoyed that experience. Mm. For some people, you think, why would you want to do that with the last 2 years of high school? And particularly, you're now going into a school that is all girls. Mm-hmm. But I found the environment to be very empowering. I think that it prepared me for college, and it prepared me for a career and a life of just being, you know, someone who understands my strength as a woman and who understands how to navigate and operate in society. So I really liked it.
Yeah. And you left there, you went to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Yeah.
I went to Georgetown University, and I was actually sharing with someone earlier today when I first applied. People kept telling me that's the school where Patrick Ewing and Allen Iverson went, you know, and I was like, well, I don't play basketball, so that's definitely not why I'm going there. But I did have the opportunity to complete my undergraduate degree at Georgetown.
Now, leaving Columbus and going to D.C., I'm sure that was a little different. Can you talk about the difference maybe in the cities and what how did CSG or Columbus prepare you for that experience?
Yes. So going to Washington, D.C. is a big city.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up here in Columbus, we weren't the 14th largest city at that time.
Right.
And so our city was not as diverse. We did not have as many different like restaurants, let's say. And we just weren't known for some of the things that we are now.
Right.
But then going into D.C., I transitioned into an area where you saw people from all different walks of life. People spoke many different languages, and I found my experience here in Columbus and at Columbus School for Girls did prepare me for that. Mm-hmm. So I believe that I was just strong in who I am mm-hmm. in my identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to enter into a new space that was a lot more fast paced, but still maintain who I was and learn a lot about the city. And I had a great undergraduate experience. Mm-hmm.
Hey there, Clark Kellogg here. Building a legacy usually involves meeting the unique needs of others and being part of something bigger than yourself. That's why I love First Merchants Bank. First Merchants believes that helping communities prosper means more than just providing banking services. It means offering accessible financial education, expanded access to home ownership, and partnerships with local nonprofits to help raise up neighborhoods and lift families out of financial hardship. For resources and tools available to you, visit www.firstmerchants.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I know you are a strong young woman of faith. Can you talk about your faith journey?
Yes. So my family is a family of faith, and I have always grown up with faith being at the forefront of our lives and the decisions that we make. I was baptized at the age of 9, and I remember that because it was actually my 9th birthday.
Okay.
And you know, since then, but even before, I have always held my faith very dear to my heart. It is an integral part of who I am, and it's an integral part of the decisions that I make in my journey. Mm. I don't shy away from it. I pray all the time. I read the word. And to me, it is, like I said, just really a part of who I am.
You know, you have a close relationship with your family, with your mom, grandparents and all that. Can you talk about that relationship and some of those life lessons that you learned from mom and grandma?
Yes, for sure. My mom, my grandparents, my entire family, like I said, mm. is a family of faith, and they are not short providing me for lifelong lessons. Mm. And one of those being particularly the importance of education. Mm. And when I was a junior in high school, and my brother would have been a sophomore, we were about 18 months apart, but mm. just a year as far as grades, our mom graduated from Ohio Dominican University with her associate's degree. And so she had a career. She worked for the state for many years. And even at that time, she had probably had 20 years with the state. Mm. And so the reason that she told us that she did that, particularly while we were in high school, was because she wanted to show us the importance of education and continuing our education after high school, if that's what we wanted to do. And so for me, it was awesome to be able to cheer my mom on. I mean, she, my brother and I would many times have homework all at the same time. Right. But it was just a great family experience, a great bonding experience. And it really showed me how much love my mom had for me and how hard she wanted me to work to pursue my dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about that sacrificial love of moms and just parents, period, that unconditional love.
Yes, you for know, sure.
I think for you seeing that example mm-hmm. of education, I always tell people you can't be what you don't see.
Exactly.
You know, and seeing that, I know that was a great experience. You all doing homework together, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
Now, here's the real question. Who was the smartest in the family?
Well, I think it depends on the subject. So math was always my thing.
Okay.
My brother is a really good writer.
Oh, wow.
And my mom, like English was mm-hmm. like her thing. So yeah. I was more like the math and science,
okay.
even though I ended up in the legal field, which people normally say lawyers don't like math, but right. I really like math. So
That leads to the next question. Did you always want to be a lawyer? Where did that come from? Did you always want to be a lawyer?
So I wanted to be a lawyer since I was 8 years old.
Oh.
I was watching a show, I think it was on ABC Family,
mm-hmm.
and I just remember that there were two parents who were having a custody battle over their child,
mm-hmm.
and there was a judge in the show, and he said that the son needed to have a lawyer in order to represent like his interests, particularly with the parents fighting. And so I don't remember the title of it, but then I just said, I want to be a lawyer and I want to help kids. And I saw The Client, that movie, a little later in life mm. with one of my mentors at the time. And I said, this is definitely the work that I want to do.
Mm.
So it has stayed with me. And I think that it has been my purpose and my path.
Mm. Awesome. Who were some of your, you mentioned mentors. Who were some of your early mentors?
So early mentors would have been, of course, my mom, mm-hmm. my grandparents, particularly because they all moved from the South here to mm. Ohio. They had high school diplomas, worked hard, taught me the importance of education, you know, and just really being good people, giving back to their community and being productive citizens. And as I began to kind of progress and go on, I met a woman named Joanne Davis, who held a program at Ohio Dominican that was called mm-hmm. Village to
oh,
Child.
Yes, yes.
Remember that?
T Street.
Yes, yeah. T Street.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I know that program well.
And she was one of my Y mentors. I mean, just the way that she poured into young people mm. that she was not related to. I would say that was one of the first times I really saw that. And when I was in high school, that was actually the first time I met then Judge Richard Pfeiffer, who mm. later became the Columbus City Attorney. And I interned with him when I was a senior in high school. And he has been one of my mentors since that time. So those are mentors that I had, I would say, before college, but since then I have gathered, or not gathered, but I have other mentors who have helped me along the way.
Mm-hmm. When you first ran for office, you know, can you talk about that experience? Who were some of those persons? Because, you know, we see you out front, You know, we're wearing your shirts because I wore your shirts.
Thank you.
You know, we get people to go, but who are those persons maybe behind the scenes that really makes this thing? Because you're young. You were young then.
Yes.
You were young. Who was that? Who were those people behind the scenes?
So I had a group of people. It's my family, close family, friends. Yeah. Mr. Pfeiffer was one of them mm-hmm. that were kind of telling me where I need to go, where I need to be. It was my first time running for elected office. Mm-hmm. And for those who know me and know me well, they know that this wasn't necessarily something that I would have said I saw myself doing. Mm-hmm. And I remember even Mr. Pfeiffer, he's like, you're so quiet. You know, are you going to be able to do this work? Yeah. You have to get out there. You have to be at the forefront. But it was him, my entire family. And like I said, those close family friends who were a strong group for me that were helping me along the way.
Mm-hmm. As you were out there, you mentioned that. What was that driving force inside of you to say, hey, I want to do this? You know, what was that light bulb moment to say, hey, I can do this or I want to do this?
I mentioned I'm a person of faith and I prayed about it. Mm-hmm. I talked to 4 people initially about it and 2 of them said no. The 2 that said yes were my mom and my grandma. And I said, of course, they're going to support me because that's what family does. But other people in the political space were like, we don't know about this.
You're just... Look at you now.
Yeah. And so through prayer and just really talking to wise counsel, seeking wise counsel, I thought that this is something that I can do. Mm-hmm. And if it is for me to be here, then I will be successful. Mm-hmm. And that door was open. I was appointed in January of 2015 and then won my election and have just kept moving forward.
Mm-hmm. You know, you were elected to city council and now you're a judge. What was that? And you were a city prosecutor as well, working that office. So how was it the day you elected judge, you began that position on the other side of the courtroom? Instead of sitting out here, now you're here, you know, with the robe on.
Yes.
You know? So how was that? How was that experience? How was that?
So the very first day, probably the entire first month, I was very nervous, very scared. Mm. Because now I am sitting in the place, like you said, where the decisions are made. And I have to determine whether or not someone is going to go to prison and be away from their family. I have to make decisions on civil cases where someone was maybe harmed by another person and to determine whether or not they're liable and will have to pay money. So I'm still nervous at times. It's not like that has gone away, but that very first month, I was like, this is a huge responsibility. Yes. And I am grateful to be in this position, but I want to make sure that I am doing everything that I need to do in order to make the right decisions.
That's good. That's good. And speaking of that, you know, we know you have a commitment to helping the next generation. What was the vision for the Justice for All Youth Summer Camp? This is the third year or fourth year?
It'll be my fourth year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, what was the vision for that camp?
So during the height of the pandemic in 2020, I was on a virtual town hall with Auditor Michael Stenziano. Mm. And so people were able to ask questions. Again, it's virtually. But I think I recognized this voice. And someone says, Judge Page, well, what are you going to do for young people since all of their summer camps are canceled?
Wow.
And I said, uh-oh. I don't know. You know, I never thought about it in a position as a judge. So I talked to our court administration. I talked to one of my colleagues on the bench and I said, I want to do a virtual summer camp. And so it started, we would do it 1 hour on Fridays and it was on Zoom and we would introduce them to prosecutors, defense attorneys, and just the law. So we had a lot of great interest. We did it again the next year, again, virtual. And then parents continued to reach out. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it in 2022. And I thought, how can I make this an in-person experience? So with the support of my colleagues on the bench, as well as the Franklin County Board of Commissioners with the funding, we were able to do it in person in partnership with the Ohio State University Moritz College of Law and always with the charities, which was founded by George Reese. I think he's a former OSU basketball player. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the 3 of our organizations together are able to provide this 1 week free program to youth in our community, 6th through 12th grade, who are interested in learning about the legal system.
The team at the Financial Solutions Network is proud to partner with Tim Brown and bring you this episode of Be a Baller. Our mission is to share generously of our time, talent, and financial resources to help our clients develop financial plans and wealth management strategies that allow them to live the lives they imagine while connecting them with experiences and people that enhance their quality of life. FCA is one of those organizations by helping young men and women through the development of their personal faith. The Financial Solutions Network is an independently owned and managed wealth advisory firm based in Worthington, Ohio. We are a multi-generational professional team of advisors with a combined 83 years of experience teaching and managing financial strategies for individuals, families, businesses, and institutions. We would be honored to help you plan your financial journey. Contact us at 614-505-3025 or visit our website at tfsn.net.
What were some of the these last couple of years? What's been some of the highlights?
Highlights. So that's an interesting question. And as I think about the work that I do, many days I see people on their worst day because they are not sure what is going to happen to them. Are they going to get to go out of the front door, which means that they're going back home today? Or are they going to go out the side door, which means that they are going to go to jail or prison? And so understanding that some of my highlights have been when someone has successfully completed probation.
Yes.
So they have taken the chance that they were given to get sober, to get gain full employment, sometimes to complete their GED and to give back to the community. Yes. And to have them come back and just to show me the work that they have done, that is really a lot of my highlights. And sometimes it's even when people are released from prison and it could be like an early release and they continue to do well. And just being able to provide programming to the young people and the community. So many of them have become interested in the law and they want to be lawyers, judges. Yeah. Some want to go into law enforcement, and to be able to plant a seed, because I know how important that was for me to have someone who will believe in you. I always tell my fellow introverts that there's no right or wrong way
to be introverts.
Yes. To be a lawyer. And, you know, those are things that just really keep me going.
Yeah. Just listening to you, I've heard this said that real change happens when the people who need it lead it.
Awesome.
You know, when you think about the civil rights movement, even things going on today, real change really happens when the people who need it lead it. And I believe that you're one of those change agents, you know, that
you're
in that position to help lead the change and to bring. But the beauty of what you're doing is you're bringing others along with you. Heard in with your camp, the partnerships with George Reese and all that. So you're bringing others along. So it's not just, I think we recognize we can't do it by ourselves. You know,
right.
We have to bring the right people and the right people along with us. Speaking of that, what words of advice and encouragement would you give to young girls interested in pursuing law?
So one, I would say never let anybody discourage you from being an attorney. And so there are a lot of misconceptions and stereotypes about what a lawyer is or what they do. People assume that all lawyers like to argue. That's not the case. People assume that all lawyers like to talk a lot. That's not the case. I remember, again, because people say I'm quiet, someone told me, it was at my church, that you shouldn't be a lawyer. You should be a librarian because you don't like to talk a lot. And so I was just thinking there may be some librarians who like to talk a lot, but they just enjoy books, you know, and the study of books and that stuff.
Right.
But I want to be a lawyer. And so I think it's just really important to, if that's your goal, to continue to pursue it. And to, if you're a person of faith, hold strong to your faith and you'll achieve all of your dreams. Yeah.
As I listen to you, I hear this underpin of faith throughout this conversation, you know, and just believing that, and the Bible says this in Jeremiah, that God has a plan for it, plan for a future and a hope.
Yes.
You know, we just follow God. It's not like you've been really following God's plan, you know, and that, because that, you know, people say that they're always looking for a successor or whatnot, but it's really God's blueprint is for you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can do what you're doing.
Yes.
Because that was God's plan for you. It's not anybody else's plan. And I'm so glad that you listened to the voice of the Lord and not to them two other people who said, you know, you can't do this, you know, and look at you now. You know, this is a podcast about legacy. As you think about that word, what does that word mean to you?
That's a wonderful question. And I actually had the opportunity to speak with a class of fifth graders earlier this week. And I asked a few of them, what do they want to be when they grow up? And a young man said he wants to be an NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, why do you want to be in the NFL? And he said, because after I retire, I want people to remember me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, so that's what a legacy is. You want to do something, whether it's as a professional football player or in any other career that impacts change. and you want people to remember you positively for the change that you have made. Mm. And so for me, legacy is important. I believe that everybody leaves a legacy. We normally only talk about legacy in the sense of people that we think have done these amazing things, but everybody leaves a footprint here on this earth, and it's deciding if you want it to be a positive one or a negative one. And so I want to leave a positive legacy and just make sure that I, as you said, am bringing people along with me and opening up doors that to show young women and to show young people of color that mm-hmm. they're able to do the same things and even greater than what I'm doing.
That's awesome. You know, part of this whole building a lifelong legacy, we have, you know, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, all those guys have a giving pledge where they're giving away all their money to philanthropy. So as part of this legacy, and now you're a baller now, so you're part of this deal, we have what we call a wisdom pledge.
Okay.
And that is giving away all our wisdom. And the other part of that is we have to be intentional about giving it away every conversation. How, you know, there's no secrets out there.
Right.
Know, we just have to be intentional about every young person, every person we come in contact with is sharing some wisdom, you know, with leaving them with a nugget. Like, you know, left me with a bunch of nuggets here, that whole introvert thing. I like that, you know, and that librarian thing. You should be a librarian. You're too quiet, you know. Lawyers, and then even lawyers, when you think of lawyers, you always think about people arguing. You know, mm-hmm. that's not necessarily the case, you know.
Correct.
Because here you are with that smile, with that sweet spirit, and you a judge. You know, when you think about judges, you're thinking about the people that's going, you know, they all wrong with mm-hmm. that payment
yes.
or whatever. And then you smiling at people out there. They're like, hey, what's going on here? Is this a judge? What's my sentence?
Yes.
You know, but that's the blessing of who you are. This brings us to the end of this episode. I want to thank you, first off, for answering that call. You know, when you saw that on television, 8 years old, that, hey, this is what I want to do. And then you said, it's not just, it wasn't about you want to do it for the money or to be successful. It's to help children. It's to help those that are defenseless, so to speak, you know, to be that advocate for them, to be that person in the room, you know, fighting for them. And that's what you're doing on that bench, fighting for people to give them a second chance, you know, giving them an opportunity, you know. And so we appreciate you for that service that you're doing for the community. And also thank you for your commitment to the Lord. Judge Page, about your summer program, your Justice for All Youth Summer Camp, can you tell the audience that they have a young person maybe interested in law, how can they get involved in the program?
Yes, so we have an application that is available on our court's website, and I'm with the Franklin County Court of Common Pleas General Division. So if you just Google that, you can see the application materials. It's on the front page. Also, you can send an email to justice4all of that spelled out at gmail.com, and you can get the applications too.
But I want to thank you for our special guest, Judge Page, for sharing her commitment to serving the community and being a positive example for young girls. I thank you for joining us for this enlightening and powerful discussion on building a legacy and service. Hope this episode was beneficial to you. As always, thanks for listening to Be a Baller podcast. Judge, thank you. Appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
If you enjoyed our show, please share this podcast with family and friends. Be a Baller podcast is available on all major podcast stations. Be sure to come back next week as we continue to discuss on how to build a lifelong legacy. Until then, don't forget to be a baller. This podcast was created by Coach Tim Brown and produced and edited by the video production class of Worthington Christian High School.